Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. Jay Gruden said he's evaluating his coaching staff. Wasn't ready yet to really comment on the future of any of his assistants. If you took over, you get to play Jay Gruden. Would you make any changes to his staff? We'll ask you that at 12:18. Right now, though, let's get to our Beltway Blitz. Starts you off with our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman. He was in Ashburn covering the final couple of days postseason for the Redskins. What stood out to you yesterday from Gruden's press conference? We've talked a lot about his reaction to the Kirk Cousins question. Anything else, though, make news or make the rounds nationally that he said?
No, not nationally. I don't know about making news so much either. I think the Kirk stuff was the big headline. I mean, the biggest news item, though, in terms of definitiveness, was that Kevin O'Connell is staying. There had been some reporting that he was considering and was planning on leaving Washington for the West Coast and UCLA to become Chip Kelly's offensive coordinator. And when I asked Jay about it, if he's had a chance to talk to Kevin about that, he said, yeah, and he's staying. They've given him the title of passing game coordinator to go along with quarterback's coach, and he's going to stick around. And I think that's a good thing, no matter who the quarterback is next year. He brings some different elements to this offense. He is a Chip Kelly disciple, so some of the RPO, the run-pass option stuff that you saw that worked well for them at times this year is something that he really specializes in and brings to this offense. It's another kind of offensive mind on top of what Jay and Matt Kavanaugh and these other guys that are around bring.
Craig, you're around this team an awful lot, and you also have a unique background in so much as you're a personal trainer, and you know a lot about training. What about what DJ Swearinger said, and what about this the rash of injuries? Chris Thompson got rolled up on. Nothing wrong there. There's no preparation issue there. But Jordan Reed seemed to, the injury seemed to linger. Trent Williams, a number of guys. How much truth is there in what DJ Swearinger said? What's your experience, and what are you looking at here?
So specifically to what Swearinger said, and if I get too nerdy here, stop me. But the immediacy that you start your recovery with matters. The faster that you start your recovery with matters. And so what DJ specifically talked to was guys not getting in the cold tub after practice, and how there may have been 20 guys in, where on other rosters he's been on, there was 30, 35 guys in the cold tub immediately after practice. And so when I asked Jay about that yesterday, Jay goes, well, DJ doesn't necessarily know what these guys are doing at home. Sure, that may be true, but he does know what they're doing immediately after practice, and he and some of his teammates are starting the recovery process by hopping out of the practice or off the practice field and into the cold tub, and others clearly are not. And I think that bothered Swearinger. And DJ's a guy, I know where he trains. He trains at a facility called DBC down in Miami, which is where LeBron trains. And the head trainer there, David Alexander, is brilliant, and he teaches his clients a lot. DJ Swearinger knows more about the human body than a lot of trainers in my other industry. He's incredibly smart. He knows what he's talking about. He takes care of his body at an elite level, and so do a lot of other guys that stayed healthy this year. Ryan Kerrigan, Vernon Davis, Kirk, it takes care of his body at a really, really, really high level. And, you know, it matters on that level. Chris Thompson does too. He got hurt. You can't prevent everything. But I think there's some merit to what he said, where I think that some of the younger guys on this team don't necessarily know what it takes, that you might need multiple massages, dry needling, cupping, chiropractic work, all these things throughout the week. And step one is to immediately start your recovery as soon as possible and let your body heal as much as possible. And that's immediately after a game or immediately after a practice, getting in that cold tub and kickstarting that process.
Kirk Cousins' comments from Jay Gruden, what'd you think?
It's not surprising. I mean, I think that Jay is obviously frustrated with the final game of the season. I think that Jay is very confident in himself as a coach, that he knows that Kirk is very good, and that's kind of the underplayed part of this, is the summation of his comments where he's very, very good. But that's an honest assessment from Jay. Kirk is very, very good, and he's shown flashes of greatness, but from a consistency standpoint, he's not great. And that's fine. Greatness is a extremely high bar, but people want to take that and see it as some kind of indictment. In reality, Jay was honest with us in what Kirk is, and that's very good. And if they wind up paying for very good, fine. But I think it is some small indication of maybe one of his biggest supporters, if not his single biggest supporter in the building, saying, look, we don't have delusions that he's elite or great. And so I would imagine they're not going to pay him as such in the $30 million range.
Craig, I know you've got a nice Josh Doctson fan club president sticker that goes on your blazer. I'm only being semi-serious, but here's my question, all sincerity. The biggest need for the Redskins in your mind heading into the next year, non-Cousin situation, is what? And where does receiver rank on that list?
So I would say running back is the number one, because I think if you look at basically every other thing that you might name, any defensive position and even the wide receiver positions, an it guy at running back would help all of those. You look at how the Cowboys changed when they got Ezekiel Elliott, and obviously he's as good as anybody. But if you can get a dude at running back that can keep your offense on schedule, that can keep your defense on the sidelines, that keeps linebackers up an extra yard or two to make your windows bigger for receivers, and keeps safeties honest that they can't play too far over the top, and a guy like Doctson maybe can get deep on occasion, I think running back solves a lot of the other issues. I do think wide receiver is pretty close up there, though. I don't know that I'd necessarily even put a top flight wide receiver or a starting caliber wide receiver opposite of Josh Doctson above any single defensive position, depending on what they do at middle linebacker. Maybe middle linebacker's ahead because those guys are all uncertain in free agents and you can't just count on them or some combo of them coming back. But I think getting another starting caliber wide receiver, bumping Crowder back down to a true three and Ryan Grant down to a true four, where those guys are above average for that level of the depth chart, would be pretty impactful on this team. Again, depending on who the quarterback is, but certainly if Kirk is back and you have a competent quarterback back there who can move the football, getting that kind of weapon would be huge.
Craig, thank you, brother, as always.
Yes, sir. I'll see you guys on Friday.
See you, pal.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Friday, of course, is our Kirk Cousins event. There are still some tickets available. Go to jamandjava.com. All the money we raise with those tickets is going to charity. Let's talk some hockey. Neil Greenberg of the Washington Post. Neil, how about last night's Alex Ovechkin performance? Two shots, two goals, the tying and the winning tallies in the third and in overtime.
I'm not sure what else he has to do to solidify himself as arguably the greatest goal scorer of all time, but it really does seem like he has a switch where he just says, you know what, I'm ready to go home, and then lights the lamp, and then it's over, and you're just left wondering just how amazing that this guy is not only during his Capitals career, but also at this stage of his Capitals career.
Neil, that was the good. The bad right now is Andre Burakovsky. I'm not asking you to play armchair psychologist here, but what the hell is going on? The waiting for Burakovsky game, what happens first? I get to eat carbs and not gain weight, or Burakovsky gets right? What's going on?
I'm not sure. It's always troubling when you have a guy like Burakovsky that's so skilled, right? Top six skill, but just can't seem to make anything happen, can't seem to stick. And he was such a big part of Washington's plan coming in, especially after the offseason saw so much goal scoring depart. It's a problem. Now, the good news is that it's a young kid, so perhaps he just needs a day or two in the press box to get things right. But he hasn't really looked good at all this season, both before and after the injury, and I'm not sure where his place is. And let's face it, if you're losing a top six spot to Devontae Smith-Pelly or Alex Chazon or someone like that, your game has really gone off the rails. So I'm not sure what we really realistically can expect from him going forward. You know, if he produces, that's great. But if he doesn't, you really can't be surprised.
The Caps are officially halfway through their year, having played 41 games. I'm pretty impressed with them being in first place in the Metro and the way that they've gotten there, despite the Oshie and Niskanen injuries, the Burakovsky struggles you're talking about. Should we be enamored with this group so far?
This isn't going to be a popular opinion, but no. And I'm actually writing a post on this as we speak. This team is underwater in shot attempts. They're giving up more scoring chances than they're getting. And that's a problem. You look at their expected goal differential at even strength. There are only two teams that are worse than them this season, and that's the Arizona Coyotes and the Buffalo Sabres. Those are the two worst teams by a mile in the hockey league. And Washington has a positive goal differential in real life, but when you look at where they're taking their shots from at even strength, they actually should be negative by a wide margin. That's troubling to me. And you look at October, November, December, it's all the same thing. They're generating more goals than we would expect, and you have to wonder how long that carries them through, right? Just look at last night's game. If that's a playoff game, they probably lose, right? They didn't look particularly sharp. They weren't playing particularly well. They got bailed out at the end by Ovechkin, but it's a cause for concern. I think right now this team is, look, it's looking a lot like they might be another second round flame out based on the underlying metrics. So let's wait and see what happens in the second half. I know that's not what people want to hear, but that's what I'm saying.
Neil, tonight, 7 p.m., what are you arguing with Tommy about on Crashing the Net?
Well, probably what we just talked about just now, how to believe, what to really make of this Caps team, and, can they become significantly different in the second half based on what we've seen from Burakovsky, what Niskanen's situation is. We probably have a lot to talk about.
Awesome, buddy.
Yeah, sounds like it. Good nuggets as well. I did not know about some of those expected numbers you talk about. We'll be watching you on NBC Sports Washington this year. Continues. We'll be listening to you tonight on Crashing the Net. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet. Neil Greenberg of the Washington Post. Jay Gruden didn't say what he would do with his coaching staff. It's still in the evaluation period. What do you think he's going to find when he evaluates that staff? Should they make any changes? Next on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Jay Gruden on his coaching staff in a moment, but I just startled everyone in the building. Just created a little bit of a brouhaha over here in the bullpen. I've got a take, and I know that it is warm. I know that it might burn to the touch, like hitting the steam button on the iron. I know that you could take some wrinkles out of your shirt with this sucker. But here is where I am on this subject. I am anti-golden retriever.
Your quote: golden retrievers are hating. They stink. I hate them.
They're nubby, is what I would say if I was using junkies lingo.
One of your worst all-time takes.
So I love dogs. Everyone knows that. I'll be getting a dog probably within the next few months. As of this moment, I believe I'm getting a French bulldog. I'm considering some other options. I want to get a pug, except that pugs shed, and I don't want a dog that sheds, which brings me back to why I can't stand golden retrievers. Number one, they shed so much. It is so annoying. I hate dogs that are big, fluffy, just so much hair. They're all over the place. They're all over your shirt and all over your carpet. That's the worst. The other thing about golden retrievers, they're big and cumbersome. They're just big, fluffy, annoying dogs.
It's not that big. I mean, they're medium-sized.
They're pretty big.
They're not Great Danes.
They also, like, their personalities, I feel like they're just kind of like, oh, I'm happy to be here. I'm a golden retriever.
They're too friendly.
Yeah, they're sweet, loyal, great temperament, kind. Easily one of the best dogs.
It's not even that they're too friendly. It's that they don't have like necessarily redeeming qualities.
Unbelievable.
But here is what I would say about golden retrievers that annoys me the most. It's number one, the hair.
If you don't want a dog that sheds,
I don't want long hair, sheddy dog.
You don't want a dog
that
sheds. It's not for you.
50% of dog breeds.
Right, but the other thing that you combine with that to make golden retrievers the pits is they always have like saliva and spit hanging out of their mouths.
This is his worst day.
That's 95% of dog breeds.
It's not, though. But, I mean, they walk around all the time with, like, gross mouth situations.
They just don't.
Because they have, like, the sides of their mouths where, like, the black part is, like hanging open. And they just have, like, pockets of spit and grossness. So if you, like, go to pet a golden retriever on the top of the head and it, like, kind of moves its head up quickly, you're, like, your whole hand gets covered in grossness.
And it's just not a thing. I mean, look at the picture.
Definitely.
This is a golden retriever, neat and tidy. Look at your sloppy, disgusting, unable to walk and move on its own bulldog with a weirdly shaped
bulldogs
mouth situation.
Bulldogs are adorable, and I want a bulldog. The problem is that bulldogs also, because of their bite, have the issue with the spit and the grossness and the snarling kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
But the main issue I have with golden retrievers is just how A, hairy and sheddy they are. B, how they just, they have all the grossness in their mouth.
You do sound like a real dog lover. I would say that dogs aren't for you then. If you don't want anything
dogs.
You want nothing in the dog's mouth or around the dog's mouth, then you can't be around a dog.
Dude, I'm the best with dogs. Ask anyone with a dog. I am so good with dogs.
Other people's dogs you're good with. I think your own, you're
definitely
going to be. When the dog gets his nose into something, he's going to have the, quote, the gross stuff on his face. You're very bothered by gross stuff on faces.
Is that fair?
Yes. Things that you think are gross.
When else have I ever been bothered by gross stuff on faces?
A child eating, a baby eating isn't the cleanest procedure. That has bothered to the point where you like make gagging motions. When CK explains, like, yeah, sometimes my son spills a little bit on his bib. You get very put out, very upset. You can't handle the idea that anything isn't perfectly placed in a very small bite inside the mouth
of a creature
that's helpless. I think
you're confusing a couple things.
No. This is you.
I think you're confusing a couple.
This is who you are.
I said that parents, whether it's Chris Kinert or anybody else, who do the move where they like feed their kid a bunch of spaghetti on purpose so that he gets a messy face, or like let him like, hey, it's your first birthday. Here's a cupcake with a bunch of icing. Just go ahead and shove your face into it like you're Randy in A Christmas Story. Mm-hmm. Be mommy's little piggy. That thing is stupid. Don't do that. Please allow your child to eat properly or only give them dry food.
You have made the assertion that you won't be in the room when it eats, referring to your future child. You've said that. I will not be in the room when it eats because it is going to eat in a sloppy fashion.
If it's eating wet, gross food in a way to be funny where it's just going to smear it all over its face.
It's not funny. They don't know how to do it yet. They're babies.
Then we need to teach them how to do it. Then I'll teach them how to do it.
You do your best, but there are going to be times. And again, you've said this. These are your words. I won't be in the room when it eats because you're disgusted by it. So
if it's going to be gross, then that's potentially true.
Here's the thing: what you call gross, normal procedure. This is standard operating procedure for a four-legged animal that is really based on eating off our trash. That's why dogs have been domesticated for so long. That's kind of what they've always been. We now give them special food, and everybody's dog is unique and special. Especially girls on Instagram that think their small dog is the only small dog in the world. Keep in mind, your dog isn't special. But we go to the next level. Every child everywhere spits up and spills and makes gross food faces. You can't handle that. Your assertions about a retriever breed or anything else, any animal that can't fend for itself is not for you.
That's not true.
I think we've learned that.
You're slandering me right now.
I think we've learned that.
No, that's wrong. Don't give me a golden retriever because it's big and hairy and annoying and has stuff in its mouth.
It's annoying.
No, Guylo Ren makes a great point. He confirms here. He says all dogs have drool when they pant a lot. Maybe, but golden retrievers have it worst. They have the worst version of
this. You ever seen Turner and Hooch,
they're
for God's sakes?
They're big and cumbersome, and they're messy, and they bump into you all the time. Stop bumping into me. Just go away. I want a French bulldog. Scott's in King George. What's up, Scott?
What's going on, fellas?
How are you?
If you want one that doesn't drool, get an American bulldog. I have one of them. They don't drool like the French bulldogs. They're a little bit smaller than a retriever, and they're short-haired. Best dog ever. My daughter will ride him like a horse, and he's completely fine.
Dude, American bulldogs are awesome. I met one at Georgetown Waterfront one time. They're massive. I do have to take umbrage with one thing he said, though, because I've actually done a lot of research on this, and I just asked Tommy to confirm because he's got one.
Mm-hmm.
There is not much literature on French bulldogs being droolers. I don't believe that they are. So I'm going to take issue with that. But an American bulldog would be an awesome dog for me. I think their lifespan is like 12 to 15 years. They're a little bit bigger than bulldogs. I think they have less, sometimes, health issues as well. I think that's a great dog for me. Bill in Woodbridge, what's up?
Hey, guys. I've got two Westies. They're big dogs and little bodies. Neither one of them shed. They're really, really loyal. Wouldn't have any other dog.
Are you talking about like the West Highland Terriers?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, they're cute. They're little, tiny dogs. I wonder if that's too small, though. Aren't they like 10, 12-pound dogs? They're a little bit bigger than Chihuahuas. They're a little bit smaller than Scottie Terriers.
I couldn't tell you the difference. This gets into that deep territory. People will just casually use the nickname on a nickname for a breed.
Right.
I'm like, oh, it's a Westie. I don't know what a Westie
now,
is.
Now, you're going to joan on me for this, and that's fine. I like small dogs.
I know you do.
Not tiny. I'm not
going
to get a Chihuahua.
Secretly, you are a high-maintenance 22-year-old girl who poses in bikinis on Instagram.
I'm so sure.
And that's your inner child. That's who you are.
I like my perfect-sized dog is a medium-sized dog. Like, if I could get any dog
Define
today,
medium.
I'm going to tell you right now, 30 to 40 pounds, I would get today, if I could get it and get away with it, my schedule allowed it, I would get a, and now I'm going to get myself in some hot water because it's part golden retriever. But, no, it's not part golden retriever. I'm wrong. Oh, yeah, it is. Golden doodle. I would get a golden doodle.
It's literally in the name.
It is. But here's the difference. One, it doesn't shed. It doesn't have the stupid hair of a golden retriever. It has the hair of a doodle.
The shedding situation, by the way, is legitimate.
And it doesn't have the spit either.
It's not for everybody. Taken, the spit thing is asinine.
I've taken the things you like about a golden retriever. I've plucked them out. Great for the family. Kind of lazy, fun little dog. And I've given it the best things of the other breed. Golden doodle, 35 pounds. And I would do a mini, so it's not a big one. A mini golden doodle. A perfect size dog for me is about 37 pounds. Anywhere between 27 and 37. Mark in Herndon, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, dude.
So I think if you're thinking French Bulldog, I might point you in the direction of Boston Terrier. Have you had a chance to listen to that
breed? Love Boston Terriers, Mark. Love them. Great call by you.
They're very tiny, aren't they?
This is one for some reason, and I've gotten no explanation whatsoever. My fiance has shouted down. Boston Terriers are basically French Bulldogs. Tommy, you've got a Frenchie. What is the difference, really, between a Boston Terrier and a French Bulldog? Because I think they actually look so similar, I could confuse them at times.
Well, my girlfriend's family is huge on Boston Terriers. They have about six of them, so I've been able to examine them closely. The legs on a Boston Terrier are longer than a French Bulldog, so they ride higher.
Okay.
Their body is skinnier, and they're usually a little longer. So, like,
so they're like a dachshund, kind of, those little wiener dogs?
No, they're not that long.
You know what a Boston Terrier is.
Those dogs are awesome. Are the pits. Like the dog from Men in Black?
Yes, kind of
no,
like
that's
him.
A pug.
Yeah, but it looks kind of like...
Not a pug. This is it right here. A Boston Terrier.
Those may be the worst dogs we have. You can tell your girlfriend's family from me.
But I love them.
I will say this. Coming from someone who owns a French Bulldog, I've watched my dog's legs deteriorate very quickly.
Yeah.
And just the hips are starting to go. Bostons do not have that problem. So it's pretty much the same dog that you would get from a French Bulldog, but they have less health issues when it comes to joint problems.
So why is she so anti-Boston Terriers? Because my three that I've said are
pug. Those are hideous.
No, they're not.
That specimen you just showed me is hideous.
Pugs, Boston Terriers, and French Bulldogs. What do you think of French Bulldogs? They look the exact same. If you hate that, you hate French Bulldogs. You just don't want to say it because Tom has one.
No, I'm sure Tom is a wonderful spirit. I love French Bulldogs.
Here's a Frenchie right here. You don't think that's a cute dog? Come on, look at these ears.
That one's a nice looking one.
That's a great one.
As far as they go, but it's got limited upside. It's like me as a pro prospect. No one's drafting me.
Let's go with John in DC. John, what's up?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, Bob.
Good.
Hey, first on the baby. Grant, I just want to let you know that a baby eating is about the cleanest thing a baby does. And if you can't take a baby getting food on his face, get ready for poop. Because poop is everywhere in your life when you have a baby.
We've got to back off of that. I honestly don't think
I have a problem with that part.
I think you will.
I think the spaghetti on the face is a bigger issue.
Poop is worse than food. But on the dogs, you know, I've had two golden retrievers in my life. I now have a mutt who's a 90-pound, you know, a big dog, too. He's actually part boxer. Grant, you're right on the golden retrievers.
Yes!
They're gross. They're so gross!
Worst take in the
world. They're hairy. Their fur, like, sticks together. It gets matted everywhere. They drool everywhere.
Worst take of all time.
Oh, I'm so proud of you, John.
I love both my golden retrievers, but they are gross. They are not the cleanest dog out there. Like I said, I got a part boxer right now.
Boxers are the best.
Boxers are hideous.
Do you have any interest in taking some calls on this next? Do we have to move on?
I don't know what we have to. I don't think we have to do anything.
I would like to get some calls first on what kind of dog I should get. And I'd also like to get some calls from parents who think that their kid eating is gross and they don't go in the room when they eat. If they're out there. Do you think that exists?
No.
I'd like to hear from someone.
You've got to sustain the life of your child.
No, I know. But I'm saying, like, you're like, oh, you can feed the kid and I'll do, you know, whatever else I have to do. Something like that. But also, what kind of dog should I get? That's the question. That's the topic I want to do. Because I'm getting one in a couple months.
Why not? Right now,
it's a French Bulldog. 800-636-1067. Also, I want to hear from people who think Golden Retrievers are stink. You're listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well played, Tommy. By the way, this is cool. I'm getting a lot of pictures of people's dogs sent to me at Grant H. Paulson, which is nice. So there's a lot of people sending me photos of their dogs, and they just are completely off the table because they're not options. They're too big or they're too hairy. One dude's got a Siberian Husky that is taller than his wife.
It looks like a werewolf.
It honestly looks like she's being attacked by an animal in the wilderness as she's like walking into her front door. I've never seen such a big dog.
Boxers with like bad overbites, standard. Those like tall, skinny dogs like them or like the Danes or the Great Danes, whatever you call them.
You ever had a boxer? I love boxers.
I'm sure they're wonderful. Friends of mine had one and I couldn't wait to get away from it. Just terrible dogs. Always like slipping and falling on linoleum. Just get out of here.
I'm going to get a dog soon enough. I'm thinking I'm going with a French bulldog. This has kind of turned into a what kind of dog I should get thing, although originally my take that scorched the earth was that golden retrievers aren't any good. I just don't like them very much. I think they get a really easy walk to the final round of any tournament they're in.
Because they couldn't be more loyal, smart, easy to train.
You're describing every dog.
No, I'm not. There's a reason golden retrievers are service dogs way more often than anything else. Labs, Labrador Retrievers,
does
that sort of brand.
Shedding and spitting all over the place make you a good service dog? Because if so, they should be service dogs.
Again, your spitting thing, I need everyone to understand, especially you. I'm looking you in the eyes. Couldn't be more incorrect. It's wrong. Dogs spit.
But you've never been around a dog.
I grew up with dogs. So,
you did have dogs.
Yeah.
I thought you hated dogs and you refused to go to parties with dogs.
No, again, what you're saying is wrong. I hate talking to strangers awkwardly and having to try to get some animal guy on a show and be pitched stuff.
I'm sure anyone ever had to come on our show.
Well, that's what they wanted. They were begging you, and you said
wrong.
No. Well, that's exactly what happened, by the way.
Guy, it was
you
my buddy, attention. Matt from Animal Planet.
Yeah, who is like,
he didn't want to come on the show.
We can get a trainer on the show with you guys to talk about dogs and the Puppy Bowl. The whole thing should
go
away.
You wanted Tony Gonzalez on the show.
Anyway.
Yeah, Danny's making up a story.
Anyway, I was just thinking about being so correct. So the point is, golden retrievers are service dogs overwhelmingly. They are incredible in service because of how excellent a breed it is. So if you don't like shedding, valid point. Some people don't like shedding and don't want to deal with it. That is a 100% legitimate point. Your nonsense about they get stuff on their face and then you're like, yeah, give me a boxer. And it's bizarre. It's just wrong.
If you got a dog, which you wouldn't because you hate dogs, but if you got a dog, what would you get?
Well, I grew up with Labs and they're amazing. They're so sweet and they're so loyal and so much fun to play with and they're awesome. They'd be too big for our little condo, though. So I'd probably have to, find something that my wife likes. I don't know. Some one of the dumb smaller breeds.
I grew up with Labs as well. I have my issues with Labs. In that, unless I live in a home with a big yard, I'm not getting a Lab.
Right.
I would not get a Lab unless it can run all over the place. Because my experience with them, and maybe it's different for each person, where I lived growing up, ours were runners, dude. If it like got out of the door without its leash or whatever. It was just taken off down the street. It just wanted to run all over the place. Wasn't well trained. They like to run. So I wouldn't, in my townhouse, get a Lab. I wouldn't even think about that. I'm looking for something small to medium sized, maximum of probably 40 pounds, more in line with like 20 to 35 pounds, but awesome. French Bulldog. I would go Pug, except Pug Shed. Someone just sent me a Puggle.
Pug Shed?
Yeah, Pug Shed all the time.
Do they really? Those gross little hairless dogs shed?
They're not hairless. You don't know what a pug is, I don't think. I'm going to show you a picture of a pug.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know what they are.
Well, they're not hairless. They have a lot of hair.
Well, they're dogs. They've got hair. I mean, it's not a chihuahua.
This is a pug right here, this little guy.
Yeah, that's sheds?
Oh, my gosh, so badly.
That weird-looking, odd thing?
It's so cute.
Sheds?
Pugs are the cutest. I love pugs, dude. Diego and Frida. All right, let's go to Matt in Stafford. What's up, Matt?
Matty.
Hey, the dumping food on head by the kid on purpose bit, that isn't going to happen on my watch.
There you
See,
go.
This is a father.
He's saying the purposeful thing. But what, Matt, and can you explain to my co-host here that children, especially young ones, when they eat, will get stuff on their face and clothes. It's going to happen, right?
I would just say there are some foods where I consider just like being out on that dinner. Like, they could just do their thing. I might have to leave the room. But, hey, Grant, take whatever dog comes to you. And then, like, after 2 weeks of trying to reconnect with its original owner.
Oh, just steal a dog.
Take that one. Or get it like a Sochi one.
Appreciate you, buddy. Did he say
a Sochi?
Sochi?
Yeah, like some of the wild stray dogs that were tormenting
exactly.
the Olympians
That's
in the
really
Sochi
funny.
Village.
Sochi Wackies. That was a good time. By the way, he said he left the room when his kid ate gross foods. That's a father. Chris in Hamilton. What's up, Chris?
Dude, you're so wrong about pugs. I own a pug. They don't shed.
Yes, they do.
They're not shedders. They're as close to hell as you can get.
I have three dogs, okay? I have a Shih Tzu. He's a jerk. I have a Pointer American Bulldog mix. He's 70 pounds. Big dogs mean big accidents. The pug is perfect.
You're She's telling me
awesome
your pug
dog.
Does not shed.
Yeah, those aren't
I
shedders.
I have family with pugs.
No.
I spent Christmas
my
with pugs.
My Pointer American Bulldog mix sheds, but my pug doesn't shed. Man.
I think that's insanity. I don't believe him. Dude, I spent Christmas with pugs. They shed all over the place. I had them on my shirt for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
My shirt was covered with their hair. Covered. This happened a week ago in my life. So maybe there's a way to get a pug that doesn't shed. If that's it, it's over. Well, deal breaker. Done.
I think that means that all dogs shed then. If you're talking, if you think of a pug as a sheddy dog, then it means you can't have a dog.
I'm telling you. Will you do me a favor and Google, do pugs shed? I guarantee the answer is yes.
Okay, I'm looking up pug.
Brian in Arlington, what's up?
Hey, Grant and Danny. Love your show. Grant, today you were wrong on one hand, but right on the other. Starting off with Golden Retrievers, they are the basic girl starter kit, and guys shouldn't have Goldens.
Thank you.
Second of all, your choice in dogs are terrible.
Why?
You're picking the ugliest flat-faced things you can find.
Yeah, that's correct.
If you want something small, the Puggle is as close to flat as I would go in the face because it has Beagle in it. Or you could just get, you know, a Beagle instead.
Beagle. That'd be pretty good. I don't like Beagles.
What's wrong with you? Have you ever seen Shiloh or any of those dogs? Like, look a hound in the eyes with those big brown eyes. You can't say no to that.
The floppy ears hanging down. I feel like they get dirty easily. Beagles do for some reason. I don't know why. I always just feel that way.
So I'm looking this up, and I guess some pugs do shed, some don't, apparently.
Really?
So I've always thought them
what
as a non...
What kind of pug shed? Don't shed, rather.
I'm trying to find
honestly,
the differentiation
Danny,
here.
This could be a major development. Because as of this morning, French Bulldog is the dog I'm probably getting in a few months. If I could get a pug that doesn't shed, it could move into first place. I love pugs. I might get three of them. Like three at once just to be friends. At least two. What's your take, Dar, on getting two puppies at once instead of one so that one has a friend?
I wish I had done that so Louis had somebody in the apartment. But
yeah.
I need to go back to your thing about labs can't live in small spaces. Louis's fine. He runs around.
Oh, that's true. You've got a lab.
He runs around at the dog park. He runs around. We take him on walks like four times a day. He's fine.
See, I don't know if I want to do that.
Well, I mean, that says more about you than the dog.
Four times a day, long walks.
Well, so this site is telling me that pugs shed hair all year round, and some dogs shed hair seasonally. So this is a one for you, apparently.
I am positive that pugs shed. Now, maybe there is a type of pug that doesn't, that guy has, but I'm not just going to take the word of a stranger when pugs have been shedding on me all my life.
You've been getting shed on by pugs.
Just so much shedding from pugs. That's all I know. It's just that pugs shed. I'll take more pictures of your dogs at Grant H. Paulson if you want to send them in. No problem with that. All right, we're good. We had a dog segment.
We
How
got
fun is it.
It
to talk about dogs?
I am not that fun.
No?
Yeah.
You hate dogs.
Dogs are great. Dogs are great. But what always people need to remember is your dog isn't special. No one understands that. They think their dog is special.
You're not in a better mood because we're looking at all these pictures of dogs and talking about dogs?
No.
I am in a better mood right now.
I'm not moved in either direction. I'm not, like, angry about it.
Let's look at this guy. Cute little beagle here.
Yeah, nice little beagle. A couple of beagles. One guy's going one way, the other guy's going the other way. This guy's saying, what do you want from me?
Look at this dog. It's a golden retriever.
Yeah, beautiful. I love little golden retrievers.
I don't like that one.
You don't like that?
No.
Because look at all the nasty stuff on its face. Nothing
There's
there.
No stuff on his face.
Nothing
luckily.
There.
Grant and Danny on the Fan at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, 15 minutes from now. We'll be joined by Albert Breer to go around the NFL. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. Remember, we've got our big event coming up Friday with Kirk Cousins. It's almost sold out, so if you're planning on getting tickets, you got to do it now. Kirk, me, Danny, all at Jam and Java, live on stage, special season recap and interview. It's Friday, January 5th, noon to 2. We're 2 days away. Matter of fact, less than 48 hours. The countdown is on. What went right? What went wrong this year for him, for the team? All the money raised from the tickets is going to benefit the DC Dream Center. For tickets and more details, thefandc.com/events. VIPs are going to get pictures and autographs with Kirk Cousins, which is a pretty cool deal. So go get your tickets now.
Unique opportunity.
Jay Gruden was asked about his coaching staff, Danny. Would he be making any changes? He says a little bit too early right now to start commenting on any of his assistants.
No, we're in evaluation mode. The staff's all here. We're going to evaluate our players first. Make sure we have a clear understanding of where we need to improve, how we need to improve, and then we'll evaluate the staff also.
Here's my question to you, Danny. Would you make any changes to the coaching staff?
I definitely would. And this is something we always have to have our usual qualifiers here. I don't relish in this kind of stuff. You're talking about, you know, guys losing their jobs and families and everything that kind of goes along with that. So I don't relish this conversation. However, this is the industry that you're in. So you end your apologies and you go ahead and go forth with it. I would remove Ben Kotwicka is the first thing I would do. Special teams to me were disastrous, tumultuous this year at best. I understand it wasn't easy because you had constant influx and rotation of guys, but I can't handle having it go down the way that it did once again. So I would try it again. I throw another dart at the board. Even respected guys like Danny Smith failed here where they got a million kicks blocked. It hasn't worked. I would try something else there. I'd also probably see if I could find somebody as my new defensive coordinator. It's probably not fair to Greg Minuski, again, because of the amount of injuries that happen, but I would try to find a wow instead of a, oh, he was already here. This is fine. I think Minuski's fine. I think he got beat up a little bit unfairly, again, because of all the dramatic loss of personnel, and as the kind of season went on, guys wore down, and they got a lot worse after Jonathan Allen went out. But to me, I would try to find a wow. I need a wow, because that unit is the weak link. Now, the offense regressed, certainly, but to me, this is and has been over these last several years about the defense, whether it's personnel, whether it's scheme, whatever it is. I would try to find a wow if I could. If I can't, I can go back in the next year with Minuski with some improved personnel in theory and see what happens. But if I'm trying to climb out of something, I know my offense probably ain't getting much better overnight. That's where I'm focused all my energy.
Does Paul Gunther qualify as your wow? That's the defensive coordinator from Cincinnati, Jay's good pals with, who he wanted to bring in the last couple years, wasn't able to, who as of yesterday is out.
I would say that's an improvement. That's an improvement. I don't know that I'm blown away by Paul Gunther. I think probably, you know, well-respected, good name. Obviously, he's been around. They've been pretty consistent in terms of Cincinnati and the defense, but I don't know that blows your skirt up.
So this may be a better topic for either later in the show or tomorrow because we've got Breer coming up at 1. I wonder if Jay Gruden can make a DC change again this year because it'd be the fourth defensive coordinator in his 5 seasons here.
Man.
That is a bad look for a head coach.
It is a bad look.
So you'd have run through Hazlitt and Joe Barry and now Minuski, who actually improved the defense some, crippled by injuries, would lose his job after just 1 season so that you could go get Paul Gunther. And he could correctly stand there and say, look, this is the guy I've wanted all along. I wanted this guy 2 years ago, couldn't pull it off. Last year we requested permission to bring him in. We couldn't do it. Now he's available, and it really doesn't matter if Minuski was here for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, or 1 year. Paul Gunther's my guy. This is who I've always wanted. He's going to be my defensive coordinator for the next 10 years. It's still a terrible look for a young head coach when you just change DCs like you change your underwear.
You just turn and burn, yeah.
I don't think he has the luxury of making a defensive coordinating change. But if I went to Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder, if I'm Jay Gruden, and I said, listen, guys, I really want Paul Gunther. I think he's very good. We can get him at this rate. He's willing to come here and coach with me. I'm close with him. It means we've got to get rid of Minuski. But I promise you, he's the right guy. And I'll stake my reputation on him fixing this defense. You give him 2-3 seasons, and I'm not going to make any more changes. And they said, yeah, we're behind you 100%. Maybe you're able to do that.
You can get down with it.
It would be a terrible look publicly, I think. I'd consider it. And I'm with you. I think Ben Kotwicka is an easy decision to make. I hate saying this, just like you do.
I know.
There's nothing fun about saying a guy should be out of a job. And I don't even know, frankly, if he deserves to be out of a job. Because there is no greater trickle-down in terms of injuries than special teams. If you think the offense and the defense are pillaged, where do the starters come from after all the injuries? special teams, which means either the guys that are playing both are fatigued and not as good on teams, or guys that are off the street that aren't playing on offense and aren't playing on defense, they're just backups in those areas, are actually who you're coaching up and relying upon to save your job if you're Ben Kotwicka covering kicks and covering punts. So he got as screwed as any of the coaches by the injuries, but it's a couple-year sample now where there's just more bad than good. And it's an easy change to make where it's not the status quo, as disappointing as that is if you're Ben Kotwicka, but you have to say somewhere we did something different. We're trying something, and that's an easy try, I think, that you can make. It's not going to take all that lengthy of an evaluation to know that your special teams group just wasn't very good. We'll talk to Albert Breer next, not only about some of the coaches who are available, what he thinks the Redskins might do with their coaching staff under Jay Gruden, what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins. But we'll also get him to start looking ahead to some of this weekend's playoff games. We got some great action in the NFC and the AFC starting on Saturday. We'll get his thoughts next. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.